Welcome to the listeners in London, Hamilton, and Toronto. I'm Rubina Ahmed Huck, sitting in for Jeff MacArthur. And what an exciting day to be sitting in on this show, because it's the day after the elections and a lot of, not surprises, but a lot of excitement for sure, right? With two major party leaders stepping down, Liberal Party not getting full party status. And so that we're going to discuss all of that later in the program. We have a super exciting program ahead. Of course, we're going to talk about the elections. We're also going to talk about a new report that shows that women's wages are not keeping up with inflation. And so this is obviously a concern. Inflation is ticking at a 31-year high. Everybody is feeling the pinch when they go to the grocery store, to the gas station, or anywhere you go to buy anything. The common conversation I have with my friends is, whoa, can you believe how much that's gone up in price? And we had someone come in yesterday. We're getting some work done in our house. And the first thing that gentleman talked about was the price of gas and how much it costs him to fill up his truck. I mean, this is the thing that we are all talking about, and you know, hearing that women's wages are not keeping up with the rate of inflation is a concern, because that means if you're making the same salary year over year, you're actually getting less for it because you're not getting that increase that you should be getting to keep up with inflation. We're going to talk housing prices, higher interest rates, so that. Two oversized hikes that we saw, the last one and the one before, of 50 basis points, and that 25 basis point hike in the beginning of the year have cooled the housing market. Now, year over year, prices are up 10%, but month over month, prices are actually falling in Canada. So it's a clear indication that higher interest rates are going to cool the housing market. I've always said normalize the housing market, make it a little bit more predictable, so that when, especially young people who are out there trying to gauge whether this is the right time to buy or not, they can make those decisions with a little bit more time. Because the last thing you want is for a young person who's first starting out, you know, just got married or buying their first home or just got that first full-time job, and they've got to make this massive decision in a matter of a few minutes. And I think that's not a really good place to be. I think it's good that with the housing market cooling down a bit, it will give people a little bit time to breathe and to figure out what works for them and whether this home purchase is right for them. So I wanted to start by talking about the election. One of the things that happened in the election was not many of us got out there and voted. So I slap your wrists, all you people who did not vote. You are not allowed to complain about the results, because the only way that you can complain about it is if you actually went out and exercised your right to vote. 43% of eligible voters in this country, or in this province rather, went out and voted. 4.6 million people out of the more than 10 million that could have come out. So one in two did not vote, basically, more than half the province that could have gone out and voted. And that really does, you know, indicate to me that maybe there are voices that are not getting heard because they're not finding the time to vote. What is the issue? Is the issue accessibility? Is the issue that people don't know where to go, or they don't know whether they can vote, or, you know, we move around a lot. Sometimes our information gets delayed, and how do you get a voter card if you didn't receive one in the mail? So all of this requires some communication, and there is a lot of that happens before any election. But are we doing enough? Are we doing enough to get people out there understanding how to vote, where to vote, and where to find out if you haven't gotten your voter card, or if you've just become a Canadian citizen and you want to vote in this election that's coming up, and you don't know how to make that happen? So all those things are really important. So congratulations to those 4.6 million of us Ontarians that did vote. Doug Ford, as you know, is our new premier, majority government, overwhelming majority. We're going to dig really deep into what that means for the next 4 years for Ontario, and what this means for our pocketbooks going forward as well. I wanted to bring in our first guest that knows a lot about how to mobilize people to vote. Umair Ashraf is the director of the Canadian Muslim Vote, a nonpartisan, nonprofit registered charity. And he joins us now. Hi, Umair.
Hi, Rubina. How are you?
I'm great. So your reaction, I mean, you're out there before the election, trying to encourage, especially the many Muslims in this province to vote. But I'm sure your message is for everyone, just get out there and exercise your right. What's your reaction to only 43% of us actually getting out there and voting?
To be honest, it's a little disappointing, I'm not going to lie. But overall, I think a lot of it has to do with people either not finding the policies or things that spoke to them, or just knowing lack of, we saw a lot of people just didn't know there was an election happening. So as our teams were on the ground, knocking doors, making phone calls, there was a lot of education, like a lot of people that were educating along the way about the process. I have to give kudos to Elections Ontario. They did have a lot of different ways that people could vote. They had the longest, advanced polls that they've had in some time. And then there was a lot of different accessibility where people could come to your house. Elected official could come to your house to take a vote. So it was a little disappointing to see. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it was disappointing. Even myself, I voted at the very last minute, just 10 minutes to spare. It sort of was my husband turning to me saying, we should really just go and cast our ballot. And I was sort of annoyed with myself, thinking all day I've had an opportunity and I don't know why I haven't done it. I don't know what it is. I think there's a bit of voter fatigue because we just came out of a federal election.
Exactly.
Pandemic has made us a little bit lazy, you know, like we don't want to move out of our homes anymore. Going to the store is like a big thing. I just wanted to get your reaction without getting too political about the results of the election yesterday. What are you sort of seeing, especially for the Muslim community?
I think a lot of conversations that we had around the Muslim community was three topics that kept coming up were Islamophobia, there was housing affordability, there was healthcare, and I guess in a sense where, as you mentioned, there was a lot of voter fatigue and just not sure who to vote for. And that was one of the questions that we kept getting asked is, who should I vote for? And for us, and we're nonpartisan, so we would always recommend it to go onto our website, tcmb.ca. And we had party platforms that we would put into layman's terms just to help the community understand. And then on the campaign, like on the trail, we had all of our volunteers, and there was almost 8 to 12 different languages that were spoken by our volunteers, and to engage and communicate in the various languages really, really helped in helping people understand the process, understand where to go, how to go, and how to explain to them the different party platforms and what it meant for them. So we saw a lot of engagement that way, but before that, they didn't really have that. And it was a bit of an eye opener that, how do we sort of engage the community in maybe even before or even during when there aren't election cycles to help them understand? And that's sort of where the TCMV, the Canadian Muslim Vote, comes in. So once elections aren't there, our idea is that we still have to keep engaging and educating the community. So next time there is an election, we're better prepared and there's more knowledge to go around.
There was a number of polling stations that were moved. Their location was actually moved. I don't know whether it was a last minute, if that's the right way to put it, but you know, I kept seeing notifications that your polling station has been moved from here to here. What's your reaction to that? Because that can really discourage people, because if it's not down the street, I don't know if I'm going to go. And if I drove out of my way to get here, I'm not sure I want to go somewhere else. What's your reaction to that? Because many polling stations had that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that did cause a bit of for a lot of people, it was nuisance to say the least. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, it's our duty, it's our right to go and vote. And if things happen and last minute things do change, it's just a part and parcel of running an election for 10 million people. And things do change. And so if they do, we just have to pivot accordingly. And at the end of the day, Elections Ontario is trying their best, and they did. And a lot of times in a situation like that, the only thing is that if it was communicated earlier or communicated more, that's one thing that can really help, because you're absolutely right. When people do show up and then they have to go, it's really quite annoying for them.
So the federal election is over. Ontario's election is now over. Where are you setting your sights? Where are you putting your efforts to get people to come out and vote?
Well, the municipal elections are coming up in October next, so we're gonna do our part in helping educate the masses in Ontario. But then there's also a Quebec election that's coming up, so our sights are on there as well.
And tell us a little bit about how people can get in touch with you, especially if they're a newcomer or a Muslim and they want to understand more about your organization. How can they get in touch with you?
Well, most definitely. So the best way is to go to our website. It's CanadianMuslimVote.ca or TCMV.ca. And we have a newsletter they can sign up for. We send out daily, regular updates. We are also on our social medias, on Instagram, Twitter. People can reach out to us there. And they can always send us an email at info@CanadianMuslimVote.ca. And our teams are regularly available to assist. And we're in partnership with a lot of different mosques in the area. So even if they go to their local mosque, chances are they're we have a relationship with them, and their community members can connect us with them as well.
Thank you so much, Omer Ashraf. I really appreciate your time and for doing the good work of getting people to get out there and vote. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Take care. Have a great one.
You too. That was Omer Ashraf. He's the director at the Canadian Muslim Vote, a nonpartisan, nonprofit registered charity, really trying to get people to get out there and vote because it didn't really seem to happen in this last provincial election.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.